Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Thursday, December 18th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Imagine spending 23 days climbing a sheer granite wall. That was the experience of professional climber Sasha DeJulian, who recently scaled Yosemite's iconic El Capitan.
I was just so inspired by the climb itself, by the beauty of the rock, and by having this personal challenge that I felt was so much bigger than me.
Coming up, we'll speak with Sasha, who became the first woman to free climb one of El Capitan's most difficult routes. But first, these headlines. The race for California governor has shifted ever since Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell started campaigning, but it's having Democrats a little worried. According to Politico, a new poll out from the firm FM3 says there's a virtual three-way tie right now. Swalwell has risen to the top, but so have two Republicans, Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco and former TV personality Steve Hilton. If this scenario holds, it could make the race less safe for Democrats. California's suing the Trump administration once again, this time over its decision to halt federal funding for electric vehicle charging infrastructure. The lawsuit, signed onto by 15 other states, is in response to an executive order President Trump signed on his first day in office. That order directed federal agencies to pause the distribution of some clean energy funding. Here's California Attorney General Rob Bonta.
It's time for Trump and his Department of Transportation to release the funds we're owed and stand aside as California and our sister states drive progress forward. It's clear that Trump's promises to his big oil donors have clouded his judgment yet again.
Bonta says California's owed $180 million in funding that was lawfully directed to states and local communities by Congress when it was passed under the Biden administration in 2021. State lawmakers overseeing the controversial new State Capitol Annex project released a long-awaited update on the status and costs this week. The building will have office space for the governor, lawmakers, and their staff. The project's original cost estimate in 2018 was approximately $543 million. But the budget for the project now stands at $1.1 billion. Over $500 million have been spent so far. L.A. Democratic Assemblymember Blanca Pacheco chairs the Joint Rules Committee, which oversees the project.
As to any construction, the cost will increase and we will provide regular updates so that the public knows, you know, what's the most current information.
The project's drawn criticism from some lawmakers and the media for lack of transparency around costs and timeline. A pilot project that gives people in Fresno a basic income every month is showing promising results. The Fresno Economic Opportunities Commission launched the so-called Guaranteed Basic Income program this year, and it gave residents from select zip codes $500 a month. A newly released study from the project shows the largest portion of the spending was made for purchasing food. Advocates say the project shows a model for how to support people during tough economic times. A Fresno man is this year's runner-up on the popular singing show The Voice. In my life, there's been heartache and pain. That's Ralph Edwards singing I Want to Know What Love Is during The Voice's live season finale. Edwards competed in the finale with the help of his judge and coach, Snoop Dogg. Edwards is a Fresno City College alumnus and sang in the college choir before taking on the national competition. Singer Aiden Ross from Texas was crowned the winner.
KVPR is now 100% community funded. That means it's time for all of us to defend this vital source of information. Your monthly sustaining donation of any amount ensures that the news, music, and more that you rely on will be here for years to come. Click donate at kvpr.org or on the app.
And now to our main story. Each year, thousands of people visit Yosemite National Park to gaze at its incredible granite cliffs, but not many will climb them. And yet earlier this month, not only did Sasha DeJulian climb the striking landmark El Capitan, but she made history as the first woman to free climb its Platinum Wall Trail. That's the longest route, 3,000 feet up its sheer granite face. Now, free climbing requires a lot of body strength as climbers use their hands and feet to hoist and heave themselves up. And unlike free soloing, free climbers can also use ropes and harnesses for protection. Sasha battled extreme winter conditions during the climb, ultimately waiting out storms for more than a week in her tent called a portaledge, which actually hangs from the mountain face. Sasha joins us today to tell us about the experience, and she starts the conversation by telling me how she felt reaching the top of El Capitan.
Well, this climb meant so much to me because it had been a climb that I had been working on for several years leading up to it, and just everything about the odyssey that entailed during the start to the finish with the storm and the wet rock and all of the culmination of factors. When I stepped on the top, it was after 23 days, and wow. I felt incredibly emotional. I felt this surge of just like tears of joy, but then laughter as well. You know, the irony of not even walking for 23 days hit me as soon as I took my first step on the summit. And yeah, I would say it was a very blissful moment.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned this a little bit, but you faced crazy conditions. I mean, rain, snow, wind. Talk about that a little bit and just how you weathered that.
Yeah, so when we left the ground, we were consistently analyzing the forecast that was going to be our window for giving this climb a push-free attempt. And what that essentially means is going from the bottom to the top and trying to successfully free climb every single pitch of the challenging terrain that lay before us. And we essentially estimated about 14 to 16 days for us to do this climb with weather included. And the forecast that hit us when we were about 9 or 10 days into the wall was not on the original forecast that we looked at, though Yosemite, it's tough to get a very clear read when you're over a week out in the forecast.
Sure.
And to start, it was like 2 days of rain, and so you're like, oh, wow, okay, it's going to be a lot of rain, high winds, and then the storm just kept extending. Like, it went from 50-mile-per-hour winds up there, maybe more at times, and heavy rain to then thunder and lightning very close to us, and then snow, ice. Then the temperatures rose, and ice chunks started kind of falling from the summit, which we were 400 feet away from the summit. So we were quite close to completing the climb before the storm set in, but we ended up staying in our tents for about, I think it was 9 days of really tough weather. And that aspect was quite challenging mentally, just because I cared so much about this climb. I had shown up and been so proud of my climbing thus far, and then this plot twist kind of happened where the weather was just completely unpredictable and there wasn't much left in our control.
Generally speaking, what made this climb up El Capitan unique or challenging compared to other climbs outside of the weather? On a perfect day, it's incredibly challenging, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this climb really caught my eye because it's such a sustained climb. And that means that there's just so many individual sections of the climb that are technically challenging. The majority of the climb is 512 to 513D, which in climbing, we go by a grade scale of essentially 5.4 to 5.15. And after 5.10, it breaks into subcategories of A, B, C, and D. And on a big wall, when you're climbing difficult terrain like 513D, you have to be able to climb a multitude of grades harder than that because you're challenging your body to be able to perform when you're wet, tired, physically exhausted and mentally drained and still be able to perform with factors like exposure. And something about the Yosemite grading system is it's unlike a lot of other locations in the world that it's quote unquote quite old school. So that means that there's really highly slick rock and very minimal places when you're climbing on a hard graded pitch of the route that is, it's almost like on the very ragged edge of possible. You have the equivalent of credit card sized little protrusions from the rock where you have to really weight your entire body and move upwards off of. So the possibility of succeeding on the route without the storm and without the wetness was already at the physical peak of what I felt was going to be a really big challenge. And I think that that's where the mental component is so powerful in physical performance, because I was in this situation where I felt so passionate about succeeding and so driven to just make it through by whatever means possible. If I had to climb wet rock, I had to climb wet rock, that my physical body really just followed suit. And that's something that I feel personally really proud of.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate to listeners that you're the first woman to do this. Was that burdensome on your mind mentally in the middle of this climb? Because I know there were points where you were almost like, should we try this at another time? This weather is so unusual and difficult. Or was that just something after the fact that you really were able to relish? Like, how did that factor into your mental space during this climb?
Yeah, honestly, it didn't factor into my mind at all, because I wanted to do this climb regardless of gender, regardless of whatever other factors. It became such a personal project. And I was just so inspired by the climb itself, by the beauty of the rock, and by having this personal challenge that I felt was so much bigger than me. Like, I, in the lead up to this season, knew that it was a pipe dream. Like, I wanted to go to the valley and spend some time climbing on this route and go for it. But I never, even right before leaving the ground, felt ready. And I think that that was one of the biggest takeaways that I've had personally, is that there are certain goals that feel bigger than you and more audacious and anxiety inducing, and you have to start somewhere. And for me, this was that in my climbing career, kind of this pinnacle moment that I went for something that I didn't have a big, deep background in, of Yosemite, LCAT, free climbing, to just kind of test myself and find out. And climbing is one of those beautiful sports where there's near parity between men and women. But I think that that's being continued to be realized. Like, more women are doing really incredible things across women's sports in general. And LCAP is one of those iconic monoliths of a climb that it doesn't matter your gender, it doesn't matter the weather, the rock is going to be there whether you are struggling or mentally fatigued or not. Like, nothing is going to change about the terrain.
Sasha DeJulian, professional rock climber, thank you so much for joining me. And again, congrats.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.